Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey kids, chapter 14 is a rough chapter. You know the one. Content warnings for torture, mass death, child death, animal death, all the death. We've tried to bring some levity to this episode, but if you decide to sit this one out, we understand. Take care out there, y'all.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading chapter 14 of Battle Magic.
So grab your box of tissues.
Or your blankie.
And a pint of ice cream.
And let's turn to stone.
In chapter 14, Evie is trying to patch up crumbling foundation areas at the fort. People are like, no, you can't do that. You're just a student. You're not being supervised. They take her to Captain Rana, and Rana's like, kind of chill about it, because he's not upset, but he's also like, don't do this anymore, because it's going to freak people out. Make some more of those light stones. So she just kind of gets like annoyed that she's like, I can help and nobody cares. So I'm going to peace out. And she like goes for a picnic, goes exploring in the mountains, and it's just like so nice and cozy that she falls asleep. And then she wakes up like tied to a plank because she's been captured by Yanqingyi soldiers who have destroyed the fort. They're like, where are your friends? They hit her on the bottom of her feet. She manages to like lock away all of her info behind a rock in her head. And so she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And since the beating the crap out of her feet doesn't work, they're like, go get her cats. We'll kill them in front of her, and then she will talk. And Evie's like, no, this is going to break me. She puts herself into a stone and like turns herself to stone. And she's just like, cool, I'm just going to be a stone now. And then a voice calls to her. And she comes out of her stone and comes back into her meat self, discovers that she's on a pile of corpses, because it's basically everyone who was in the fort or around the fort, including her cats. She manages to like wrap her feet and like get to the mountains, find this weird little crevice where there's this like funky bear-shaped piece of crystal. And I don't know, doesn't she just like kind of pass out or something?
No,
he takes her.
Says, come with me, and they go inside the cave.
Oh,
and
okay.
The cave closes up behind them. And okay. There's an avalanche.
Yes.
The soldiers ended up tracking Evie, and then they get smushed by the rocks.
Woohoo!
Cool. Really not cool.
Part
part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like. And because we have all lost cats relatively recently, I kind of feel like we should start there. Let's start with the heaviest thing.
Oh.
That fucking sucked.
Bro.
Yeah.
I have been not good the last week or so. Like, just crying at random and being irrationally angry, because it's about 2 weeks. When I read it the first time, I just want to mention that in this chapter, I had nothing liked. Chapter 13, I had liked stuff as I was reading it. Chapter 14, not a single goddamn thing. Chapter 15, things are highlighted. So I can't.
We say likes or dislikes, so most of this chapter was a dislike.
I got a lot of notes. I can't tell you how much is liking things.
Yeah, no, most of this chapter is a dislike.
Yeah.
Like, I was grasping at straws to find likes, frankly.
So do we want to start
with the first part of the chapter? I have some likes there. And at the very end where the army gets murdered by the rocks, I thought that was great. That was a like.
Thank you, Luvo.
Like, thanks, Luvo. You murdered him.
I particularly like the fact that she hears it from inside, like the mountain shakes and there's like a crash that she hears outside and she's like, what's that? And Luvo's just like, oh, the mountains are shifting, it's fine, keep moving.
Don't worry about it.
Casually commits murder.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the people who he kills also casually committed mass murder.
Oh yeah, no, it's justified.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And
like, don't worry, it's nothing, don't worry about it.
I also, mostly they because we have talked a lot about vengeance on this podcast, I want to point out, it's not just because they did it, so I'm punishing you and getting back. It's also because they're actively looking for Evie, right? So it's not just vengeance. It's specifically to protect her. Okay, so in that case, do we want to start with Indy, who has no likes, and like try to move up to people who have maybe some likable things? Or do we want to start light and just get ever more depressing?
Whichever.
All right, let's start with Indy. Let's start with Indy, and then we can move up and maybe get some levity in here.
Okay. Let's go. What was that metal scrape on granite? The tone that wavered, and the ringing clop of horseshoes in a cave, but not exactly. Bro, though, you said foreshadowing. I say, what about the other foreshadowing? Probably the first one, not the second one, but...
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah. Evie felt like she was inside magic. I liked that,
I love that line so much.
Yeah. I don't know their names anymore. Why don't you know their names? Forgetting is a high degree of magic for a student. The fact that that is a thing that people can just do.
It's so kinda cool. It's so cool.
That is kind of cool.
So and are we really surprised that she managed to do it without necessarily really knowing how? Because like in street magic, Briar's like, hey, maybe you could bring some light into a stone. And she's like, oh, that.
Easy.
Whatever.
Already done that.
That book, she was able to store a lot of her power into different spots as well, towards the end of the book as well. So if she's able to do that, putting memory into a rock somewhere, I feel like that's nothing as well.
I feel that this is very in character for her, which I like.
There's a lot of evidence to happening in the past and her being able to do it.
Yeah. Right. She thought Jaiju was another friend of hers who had cats.
Because when we saw her before, we kind of liked her. She was really nice.
I'm
gonna tell you, it was really hard for me to read those chapters because I knew that this was coming. I feel like we also need to point out here that before Jaiju gets there, there's the two guys, Dawei and I forgot who the other one is named, and like they're kind of playing good cop bad cop.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And then Evie's like, oh, well, so-and-so's nice. And then he takes over hitting her and it's like, nope.
That is
not a friend either.
That is one of the things that I have disliked.
Yeah, that fucking line hit.
Hey, Brittany, how'd you like the
Hey.
baby goat line?
This book has it twice to make up for the will of the emperor and to make
Yeah.
up for melting stones not having it at
Hey,
all.
I mean, why not have it in the torture scene? I mean, it's pretty torturous, so whatever.
I was gonna say maybe she was trying to lighten the mood.
Oh no, it's
It
torturous.
felt weird. It felt weird having it there. Why couldn't it have been in while they're
Yeah.
in the fort chatting?
Yeah,
At
I'm
least we
in
have
the
verification.
middle of torturing somebody. Like, let's bring up kid. Like,
Kid.
you need a baby goat. No, we're torturing people here. Come on.
Take over, Mushing. I don't care to weary my arm. That was when she learned that Miss Shang was not truly her friend. Oof.
Yeah.
Ow. And yeah, that the fucking good cop, bad cop bullshit. Like,
Yeah. The latter half of this is a little less painful. The mountain songs made her stop crying. Luvo,
yeah, that
let's
leads
just
into.
long. I will say it for you at some time, but not now. Oops, I loved.
I was just gonna say that it shows also just why she loves Luvo so much. Like,
Yes.
she cares about the little gummy bear.
It is nothing.
Inconsequential now.
I feel like that's really him taking care of her, not only protecting her with the landslide, but also the way he's like, no, don't worry about it. Because she's not emotionally equipped to handle that.
Oh no.
And so he's just like, no, don't worry about it.
Even though they were torturing her, I feel like she would have felt guilty, like, oh, more death because of me.
Yeah. The bodies of Dawei and Meshing hung as a warning to every idiot in the army who did not know the difference between a dead girl and a mage in a deep trance. Jesus.
Are you
Which
gonna
is
read? Are you?
crazy because she was also like, I also thought that she was dead, but
Yeah, I
no
was
one's
gonna
gonna ever
say, are
know
you gonna?
that by capturing her. I'm like, oh
Yeah.
shit.
Yeah, she had already left sizable offerings to several gods that the Emperor would never learn that she too had examined Evu Mei Mei's body and pronounced her to be dead. She would have sworn the girl was dead, and if the Emperor's spies ever learned differently, she would pay very painfully. Well, don't worry about the Emperor, honey. You're fine.
Because you did.
You dead. You got rock. You've been buried. Goodbye. Your cats will wonder why you abandoned them, and they will hate you forever.
None of them would be seen again. Mwah, love it.
That's essentially the end of the chapter, so that's essentially the end of mine.
My first one is at the very beginning of the chapter when she is noticing that she's able to actually walk amongst the people, enjoy people's company and stuff because she doesn't have Rose Thorn and Briar with her. So people are like more comfortable with her because she looks like them. And so people are willing to be around her instead of being in awe of her, like, oh my gosh, she's someone special. She's someone cool. So she's able to be around people and she's admiring babies and helping families and just chilling out with people, which I thought was really cool. I like the comment whenever Evie is taken to Rana and about her doing her magic, and Rana's like, this fort has stood for centuries, and Evie's like, it shows. Like, burn. She's trying to help him out, and they're like, oh, it's fine, it's stood for centuries, and she's like, yeah, I know, it looks old. It looks bad. I was
Busted.
trying to help. My next one was alike. I had a feeling bad things were going to happen since we got a big some details of this, of just her cats sleeping with her. Like, oh no, we're going into major detail of bad the cat sleeping with her, so something bad's about to happen. But I like the description. Her cats curled around and on her, monster's cheeping mew of worry intruded on her thoughts. As she petted him to comfort him, Ball settled between her shoulder and ear and purred loudly as if to drown out the mountain singing. She couldn't do it, and Evie could hear them even in her room now. Apricot and Raisin covered her feet, Mystery her belly, and Rhea curled inside the curve of her free arm. Asa settled on top of her head. Their combined purrs led her to sleep. She dreamed of the Sun Queen's husbands. The cats climbed the mountains and laughed at her for not going with them. Like, aww, it's so cute.
My favorite part of that is that Asa sleeps on her head.
Yeah, on top of her head.
And yeah, like, I was like, that's such a cat move, though. Yep.
I was literally trying to map out how the cats would fit, like, around the body.
Well, there you go. Nice little gut punch before you see them get murdered, so that's right. Nice. We get Luvo, which is awesome. I was very excited to see him. I knew he would show up sometime in this book, so I'm very excited to see him. It's kind of sad. Had to trade cats for Luvo in this chapter, but, you know, we got Luvo, so
yeah.
Cool.
I think for me specifically, it's that whole conversation. Sorry, I'm going back to which mountain is Luvo. When she first introduces the mountains, and well, first off, it's the Snow King, the Snow Leopard King, the Talking Mountain King. But also, Briar's like, why do you call him that? And she's like, he tends to be more loquacious than the rest or something. She's like,
I have the actual quote. What does that mean, talking Snow Mountain King? I think the worshippers feel he is the most conversational of the Sun Queen's
conversational
husband.
But like, also, does that not fit Luvo to a T? Because mm-hmm. he talks about how like his mountain tires of him because he's so eccentric and all this. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
of course he's the most conversational. So
yeah. Then my last like was when the army gets killed by the rocks. So, hooray.
Love that part.
I love that part, too. The army and Jui is looking for Evie. They're going to follow her bloody footprints, capture her again. Jui is so deep in her plans that she didn't even notice the quiver on the ground until it was much too late. The canyon collapsed on the soldiers and mage. None of them would be seen again. Hooray!
I do feel like that was put in there to give us like some bit of like hope. This is an incredibly bleak chapter, and it was like, but it's not all bad.
Because they died, yes!
Yeah.
They killed a bunch of people, and then they get killed themselves. So it's fine, it's fine.
These are the consequences.
To quote,
it's not gonna bring back all the people in the forts or the cats or anything like that, but hey, they're dead, and they died, so it's fine, it's fine.
To quote Luvo, it is nothing.
It is nothing. Yes, exactly.
Evie shoring up the walls of the temple reminds me of Triss, because she's like doing it when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm.
And Triss is the same way in Will of the Empress. She's like, oh, nobody will notice.
They noticed.
Yeah. Brittany pointed out the bit where she's dreaming about the cats climbing the mountains, laughing at her for not going with them. And I wrote foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. They're going to heaven. They're going to kitty heaven.
All cats go to heaven.
On page 245, when Musheng and Dawei are arguing about like whether they should be nice to her or whatever, the soldier Musheng took Evie's hand and clasped it tightly. Dawei, she could be your daughter. He looked at Evie. Please, child, you came here with three companions, Briar, Rosethorn, and a dangerous slave, Parahan. Tell us where they are. We'll have a mage see to your feet. Let them heal like my arm had to heal when the northerners poured boiling oil on it, snapped Dawei. And so again, we have the theme of revenge coming back, as always. This is for our listeners, not for you guys. But the way that Evie forces herself to forget reminded me of Allie going to her liar's palace in Trickster's Choice and Trickster's Queen.
Yes.
On page 248, the emperor is called the Son of the Gods. And I know we talked previously about like him having to maintain an image of divinity, and that's why everything has to be perfect, because divinity is perfect. There we go. He's the Son of the Gods. The worst part of the cats dying is that Evie puts herself into the stone in order to protect them. And then it doesn't work.
No. I mean, no, it wasn't going to work. When she started doing that, I was like, no, it's not going to work. I mean, yeah, Jiaju has cats of her own, but like, who needs seven more cats? The
Yeah.
caretaker of these cats is dead. We don't have use for these cats. Murder him. It's fine.
She could have been conscious for it. It could have been worse. Like
It
she
could
made
have
the
been
right
worse.
Yeah.
she made the right move. It just
I agree.
it reminds me of the quote from Star Trek from Captain Picard about, I love the quote, don't have it on hand right now, but you can make all the right moves and still lose. That's life. Like
Yeah.
it,
Yeah.
nothing could have been done at that point. Like
No.
if she hadn't done that and they had killed the cats in front of her, she likely would have broken. So,
Yeah.
which is why she did it. A little bit on a lighter note, on page 243, he cuffed her so hard she saw flashes inside her head. The man she'd kicked grabbed her legs and tied them. Who else is with you? He demanded. She fell back on Chimuri to tell him what his mother ate for breakfast. Good job, Evie.
I love all of those references where Tamara Pierce can't exactly say what she wants to say, but it's close enough for adults to get it.
Yeah, some of my favorites are one that Brittany pointed out in a previous book where I think Sandri tells Briar to do something that's physically impossible.
Yep.
And then similarly in the very first book when they're trying to bathe Briar and he just says that he's like cursing in five different languages and the Ostlers are talking, can a person even do all those things?
At
Not
least
at once.
once.
Similar to that, we get the return of the word Xer-Namis from Street Magic. And I don't remember exactly what it means, but it's like,
A
okay, so
parasite, like a tick.
it's a parasite. And I think in Street Magic, they specify that it's a tick that sucks money instead of blood or something like that. So it's like you're a tick, but even worse than a tick. We talked a little bit about the good cop, bad cop thing, and just like that's absolutely how you break somebody. It's the going back and forth between the kindness and the brutality, because that's what makes the brutality hurt so much more. Obligatory Animorphs reference, Animorphs Book 33. Again, with the insults on page 250, she told Jajui to do something very bad with a yak. And I will turn it over to Goodwin for some additional levity.
I love the word crenelles, which is referring to crenellations, which is referring to battlements at the top of a fort. The little square tooth things at the top. I just wrote down that I love crenellations. Me and all my homies love crenellations. They're just neat. I like seeing them. Yeah, I disliked the mage that got on to Evie for trying to fix stuff. What a snitch. Like you'd think another mage in a relatively small fort would know that, like, there's would have been told, maybe. Maybe he didn't know, but like there's a mage here that works with rocks all day. That's literally all they do. Let her do rock things.
But she's a student.
Well, so I know that they probably don't know her very well, and so students that aren't trained well can be dangerous. So they don't know how well she's trained. They're not around her all the time, so it could be dangerous potentially. So
I see the point that is being made, but also, bro, y'all are in the middle of a war.
there's a lot of families at the fort there, though, too. They're trying to protect the people, and they don't need a student that could potentially hurt people. While they don't need to be worrying about that on top of a war, I feel. So, I mean, I get both sides of it, but
It didn't do him any good anyways, but
I know, but still, I get where they're coming from.
But we
I
also
get
discussed how much good it would have done if they had let her, and
The answer is
you seem
slim.
pretty confident that it wouldn't have done that much good anyway.
Yeah.
So she
It
would have been
just,
wasting her time.
yeah, these were initial feelings to what I read at first, because it's, yeah, I went kind of chronologically, but I was like, surely she can't, they would have known that she's good, maybe, but maybe not. But
Also, she would have used her magic for that. She may have been more tired and more susceptible to the torture. I don't
That's
know.
true.
I know if I'm tired, I'm cranky, and I would give away some information, I feel like, if I was tired.
That's a legitimate form of torture, is just sleep deprivation. Like,
Yeah,
you just keep
so
someone
I
awake
mean,
for 3 days and.
yeah. So
Anxiety Group by Catalina Farrow. She mentions
it's
that.
probably also a good thing that they stopped her because she would have been really tired doing all that magic too. So, and she may not have had enough power to be able to put all of her memories inside of a stone. So it was good that she still had her magic, or it could have been way worse, I feel like. So,
That's true. Talking about monster cheaping, getting settled near her in bed, and animals know when you need comfort. And it's really sweet. So it just hurts all the more when they get yeeted off the cliff with Evie.
Oh, I just thought of another light that I had. Whenever they tell her to put light into the crystals, she puts the light in the crystals, and then she's like, just to be spiteful, I'm gonna make them turn off again. And then she thinks to herself, Briar Roastthorn wouldn't like that. I'll put the light back in it.
It is a reminder that she is still technically a child.
Yep.
She is still
It's so
petty
funny.
and spiteful and just like, this is bullshit. I'm gonna take the light away. And then it's like, oh, that's bad.
That's bad. I would get in trouble for that, so I guess I'll put it back.
Yeah.
Evie is so spicy in this chapter, though. Like, she just does, she goes down swinging.
Yes. I enjoyed the part where Dawei talks about, his arm healing when the Northerners poured boiling oil on it. That's just another fortification defense thing. You make little ledges like underneath the wall, or like the crenellations go past the wall, make a dip down so you can like look down at the people under there trying to climb up, and you just pour a big old vat of boiling oil all over them. And, it's good to keep people off your walls. Welcome to Foot Facts. You are now subscribed to Foot Facts. The soles of your feet contain more sweat glands and sensitive nerve endings per square centimeter than any other part of your body.
That makes sense for
Oh.
sweaty feet and having nasty socks.
Yeah,
So I
and
have a personal connection
maybe.
to this, which is even worse now that I know that. I have students who, in their school at their other country, that was the way they were punished. And literally, like
Oh.
exactly as it happens in the book, they would take a bamboo rod to the soles of their feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting swatted on the butt is not near as bad.
Yeah, no, you got to put all your weight on your feet when you walk. So.
And they're, I mean, it's like stepping on a Lego times like 1,000.
Yeah.
Over and over.
It's real fucking bad. So, unless you've really whacked the bottom of your foot before, it's real fucking bad. Oh, Evie describing Luvo as the friendliest looking piece of stone she had ever seen.
That's so sweet.
That's really saying something because she's seen a lot of rocks.
She really has.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers.
With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. I have two, y'all.
Oh. Mm-hmm. death? Torture?
Ow, pain.
Ow, oof, my feet.
Ow, pain. That was mine.
I wrote gaslighting because that's kind of what's going on with the good cop, bad cop bullshit.
Yeah.
And then I wrote curiosity killed the cat? Consider page 242. Too soon, I know. Yeah. So page 242 is where she goes out and like goes exploring. And we kind of talked about would she get captured anyway. And I think like we've kind of agreed like, yeah, she would have gotten captured anyway. But yeah, it was also too good to pass up apparently.
Yeah.
But also in a different Tamara Pierce book that I've already referenced once in this episode, they have like the longer version of the idiom, which is curiosity killed the cat and satisfaction brought it back. And I've heard something about like, that wasn't actually the original idiom, but whatever. We're going to say this. Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. And I have multiple, but I'm going to name a couple to begin with because we've already sort of talked about them. End corporal punishment.
Yeah.
People should not be nice to you only because they get something out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is the only reason those people are being nice to you, Evie. What about y'all?
Mine's a joke. Murder cats because they're demons.
Send them to hell. Send
Flower,
them back to hell.
Are you a demon?
Look at her. She looks like a fucking
Here's
gremlin.
The thing. I think she looks adorable, but I can confirm she is a demon. I have spent the day with that cat.
You kept saying she was so sweet. No, she's a demon. She's so mean. She's so mean.
She wasn't she was mean to me, but not exactly. She mostly just hissed anytime I walked to like within 3 feet of her, which was most of the time. She was just constantly
yes.
Which is nastier than the cat that Goodwin has that he claims is a demon.
Oh, she's a bitch.
My cat just pees everywhere.
Yeah.
No, my actual magic, though, was help people. When Evie is at the beginning of the chapter, she's helping people that are in the fort with her. And she's just going around helping people. Even if you get in trouble for it, help people anyway.
I really like that addition. As a teacher, given the bullshit laws that are going into effect in our state.
Yeah.
My personal magic I sort of talked about last time, but it's coming back. Don't talk to the cops. Don't fucking do it.
Don't talk to the cops.
Don't talk to the cops. I'm going to keep reiterating that throughout this entire section because don't fucking do it.
Bro. And you're like, still right and you should say it.
There's been horrible advice. This will apply to probably none of you listening, but like, it's so infuriating to me. There's this guy called Massad Ayoub who is a like self-defense expert. I put that in quotes.
That was in air quotes.
So he is knowledgeable. He's been doing it since the 70s though. He's a fucking boomer. He doesn't know like shit. But he recently came out with this nugget of like really good info, according to him. So like a man was in a self-defense gun use situation, shot a man, killed him while he was in fear for his life. And he did not talk to the cops or give any details as to what happened. And because of that, he stayed in jail for 5 days while they like figured out what happened, what was going on. Once he got his lawyer and everything, he talked about what happened and said, hey, this is the situation, this is what happened. And then one of the cops stated that, oh, if you'd said that initially, we would have just let you go the same day, which sounds nice to hear and be like, oh, I could have stayed out of jail for 5 days if I had only just yapped.
What?
Yeah. They're fucking lying to you.
Well,
there is a slim possibility that might have happened, but you could have also incriminated yourself into going to jail for 15 years. So if the alternative is going to jail for 15 years or being in jail for 5 days because you didn't talk to the cops, I think the 5 days is worth it to not go to fucking jail for murder.
Yeah. Another related note is that, sometimes like if you've been detained for whatever reason and they're like, oh, well, we have footage of you being there, or oh, we have your fingerprints on there. Bitch, if they already had that, your ass would already be, they wouldn't be telling you that.
They would, exactly.
They would just have you arrested. You would be arrested and sitting in jail waiting for Texas to hit you with a brick. Like, listen.
Do not incriminate yourself. Do not talk to cops. If you are arrested, don't say a goddamn thing. No, not even that. Invoke your Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate yourself. Because they recently changed the law to where if you're silent, a judge can take that as like you are complicit in the crime that happened and you are not saying anything because you are guilty. You have to invoke your Fifth Amendment right to silence. So say, hey, I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right, and don't say shit. Wait until your lawyer gets there, because the cops will fuck you for fun, because they're looking to close cases.
And you have to say, I want to speak to my lawyer. You cannot go, oh, well, I think I should just wait for my lawyer to get here. You have to go, I want to speak to my lawyer. And then you don't say anything else. You just sit there and you look at them.
Because they'll pressure you to give a statement, anything at all. Don't fucking do it. I'm not a lawyer, but don't fucking do it.
There was actually a I can't remember what the video is. I'd have to actually go like look it up. But there was a video of a lawyer who had been a lawyer for the better part of like four decades. Like he has been there and he has dealt with a lot of shit. And he's like, okay, so for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to talk to you. Don't talk to the cops. Let me tell you why you're not going to talk to the cops. And he goes through all of these scenarios like, oh, hey, like, where were you? Well, I was here. Well, they go to the place and they talk to, you know, some random person on the street and give them your description. And they go, oh, yeah, I think I saw that person here. Well, suddenly you've got someone a city over questioning your alibi. Like, there's all of this stuff going on, right? And so he goes on into more detail of like the things, and then he goes, okay, well, you know, I've talked enough. We only have an hour. I want to give my esteemed guest time to speak as well. And he like it hands over to a sheriff who has been a cop for as long. I don't know. It was a police captain from New York. And he was like, what would you like to say in response to all this? And he goes, oh yeah, don't talk to cops. We will arrest you. And we will book you, even if you're innocent. Don't talk to cops. We will find the evidence to make you guilty, is exactly what he said.
Yep.
They're not your friends. Don't talk to them. Don't talk to cops. Fuck cops. Me and my homies hate cops.
Amen.
Mine's gonna sound real fucked up, y'all. Sometimes it's okay to harden yourself. Sometimes it is a defense mechanism to shut down and to just become a stone. You know, sometimes that is a defense mechanism that we need to implement. Don't feel guilty if that's what you have to do. If you have to self-isolate in order to not be a fucking psycho and scream at people because it's been a year since your cat died, you cannot be normal about things. Like, you know what I mean? That's very specific. I know, but on the same coin, let someone call you back. You need someone to pull you back sometimes. You need someone to sing to you, I think is the exact someone was singing to Evie. It sucks. It hurts sometimes, and it's okay to be self-isolating as long as you don't hurt yourself or others. But also know that friends and family and people who love you will still be there to pull you out of it at the end of the day.
My last one was basically that same note. Evie turns to stone because she wants to stop feeling. But it's important that we don't always stop feeling. Like you said, sometimes you have to, and Evie has to do that in this moment. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the only way to keep your sanity and to keep you safe. We see it here, like, and we've talked about it. This is probably the only thing that kept her from breaking.
The other thing I wrote in that same vein, like the other way I phrased it, is keep fighting. And sometimes to keep fighting, you have to shut down. And sometimes to keep fighting, you have to feel.
Goodwin, you were going to say something?
You know, if you have to do it, and if it works, it works. But you do have to allow yourself to be drawn out again afterwards.
Yeah. Listen, it gets dark at night, and that's okay. But the sun will come back up.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter, so this is an excerpt from chapter 15 of Battle Magic. One Yanjingi soldier, a burly fellow in gold-plated armor, raised a crimson banner. Several men shouted orders as the archers aimed over the temple wall. The soldiers trotted their horses forward. Then the priestess, the head of the temple, Briar knew now, and the commander began to chant. The immense orange tiger statue that sat by the gate shook itself and roared at the charging horsemen. The white tiger that was already leaping into the air finished its jump, landing in the middle of the attackers. The horses went mad with terror. They reared and plunged, screaming as they threw their masters to the ground. The tigers whirled and swung their huge paws, sending horses and men alike flying through the air. Parahans and Suda's warriors froze at the sight before them, but not the temple archers. They aimed and shot. As their bolts flew, Briar looked at Jimut. He was already aiming his crossbow. Briar turned back to the tigers and saw their weakness. They were anchored near the gate somehow. Once at their limit, which seemed to be about 300 yards, they could keep the enemy at bay, but they could not pursue them. The Yanjingi soldiers also figured it out. They formed out of the tiger's range and waited for their own mages to have a turn. These worthies had kept far back all along. Though Briar couldn't see them closely or hear them, he guessed they had taken their beads in hand and were chanting the words that would wake the spells in them. The Gyeongshin and Kanbanpur archers launched their arrows high in the air. For some reason, they fell short of the mages and even the soldiers. The archers on the wall tried a second time. The bolt still fell short. The temple priest mages came forward with small pots and boxes. Novices followed with mortars, pestles, cloth bags, and fists full of incense. They sent their belongings on the wall and began to mix substances for the priest to burn and chant over. Briar felt their power press against his skin. The next time, the archers on the wall shot, their arrows hit the enemy. Briar ignored what his allies were doing and sat cross-legged on the wall. "Don't let anyone trip over me, Jimut," he said. He sank into his magic, flowing through the roots under the temple and out below the battlefield. Here was a weight of rock that had to be one of the stone tigers. On he went until he sensed the small magics that went into the good luck charms carried by soldiers. Overhead now, he felt bead-shaped willow with magic dug into its grain, exactly what he wanted to find. Weishu had not warned his mages to remove their wooden beads. There were other wooden beads, but for now, the willow ones would serve his purpose. Briar surrounded those beads with his own magic. They welcomed him. He brought them the memory of their life as trees before someone had cut them into pieces and forced strange magic onto them. Willow magic healed and united. It was power that bent before it broke. Instead of flowing streams and falling rain, someone had jammed killing and destruction into the wood, the kind of spells that burned and thrust. Willows didn't understand that magic. They wore it uneasily. Feeling themselves in Briar, remembering what they were, the bits of willow shook off the foreign power. They took up the green magic that had been theirs when they were trees. They grew. Briar guided their power to veins of water underground. Here they found the fierce strength of the Snow Serpent and the Tom Sho rivers. Briar bound their magic to his, sank both deep into the water, and let go. Saplings shot from the willow beads worn by the Yanjingi mages. Rapidly, the new trees grew. The mages tore off their strings of beads, but not fast enough to keep from being enveloped by fast-growing willows. The new trees followed their power to heal by uniting the mages' arms with their bodies and forcing the humans' two legs to become one. They wrapped the humans in their trunks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's awesome.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake at us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
My question is, all this time that Brittany has been talking about the cats dying, and you're like, no, they're not going to die. Were you in denial, or did you honestly forget that Melting Stones confirmed that they died?
I was in denial.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.